everyone, welcome back to another episode of Nintendo Fanboys. And because Steven was bored, he was like, let's redo our top 10 Switch games, because he knows I just adore doing lists like this, because it takes me months, if not years, to come up with a list that then changes when the wind, you know, blows the other way. So, yeah. But before we begin our top 10 Switch games, what have you been up to?
Not much, but I'm surprised you're not mentioning that this is not an official list. This is one of my biggest pet peeves that people do on YouTube. It's like every time they have to do a top 10 list, and this is something that Happy Console Gamer does all the time, and he's one of my favorite YouTubers, but he always starts his top 10 list by saying this is not an official list. It's like, no shit. What do you think?
Oh, okay,
this is?
Sorry. Whoa. Let's back up then. All right, so Steven and I will be hosting an official top 10 Switch games of all time. If you have an opinion that differs from ours, you are wrong.
Exactly. Okay. That's how you do these things. You have to be affirmative. But yeah, I just wanted to, because the last time we did this was in May of 2019, so I'd like to do one at least every year. So this will be the October 2020 edition. And I just thought that it would be nice to do that and also just do a recap of our last Fanboys, which was the Mario 64 topic, which was very controversial because of you. And maybe just talk about games we're playing here and there and whatnot and call it a night. So that's what's up.
Okay, so then let's start with, let's talk about the podcast. So what was so controversial about it?
Well, apparently people did not appreciate how you felt about Super Mario 64.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, it was, I had some really nice discussions in the comments. The video itself turned out okay and far... But it is one of our most disliked videos of the year. Last time I checked, I think it had like 25 likes and 15 dislikes or something like that. Maybe 23, 15. But it was on pace to have more dislikes than likes. And that's not usually a good thing. I think YouTube actually, it's one of the things that it, for its algorithm or whatever you want to call it, that it... counts the most, not necessarily views, although that does help, but we're not really getting top of the end views there, but our likes are usually I'd say like a 95-1, like we usually get like maybe 10 likes per one dislike, but that was not the case for that video. Clearly many people saw the title, which I thought was perfectly appropriate. Because it was not clickbait, because I literally said Super Mario 64 is the most overrated game ever in the podcast itself. And that was the main topic of the show. So I thought it was appropriate. It was going to get people's attention. And then you had the counterpoint, and people would be free to tell in the comments how I was wrong or if they agreed. There was a few people that did agree, so... it was fine, but obviously some people saw the title, clicked dislike, immediately unsubscribed, yeah. And then commented that this was the worst video ever and that we should all die. And I think Tim laughed at me because he did a few successful streams lately with the game called Among Us. Yep. And apparently he said that he brought a lot of subscribers to channels while I did the opposite, while I turned people away, apparently. Like, you said there was like 80 subscribers that unsubscribed
in
like
total
the first
now,
3 hours.
Like, 'cause I can actually check, right? So in total right now, we lost 3 subscribers. So okay. That's nothing. That's really nothing.
No, but you mean if you counter everything? Because with that single video, I think we lost like 80, right? You said?
Yeah, well, that was originally, but it doesn't, like, it balances out. That's the thing, right? Like, because then you'll get other people that are, like, you know, huge Sega fanboys or whatever that are like, yeah, down with Mario. so it balances out in the end. But here's something that I wanted to let you know. Of the people that commented... 94% clicked the play button. Okay? So that means 6% didn't even click the play button before they commented, right? But of like those that did click the button, 53% watched for 43 seconds. Okay? And only 6% of all the views watched the whole video.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised by that, because what we should probably do and what we'll probably never do because we're too lazy is, like, we should probably have the podcast, instead of bringing it up, have the full hour video. We probably should have it, like, maybe 4 or 5 clips from the podcast, and then at the end of the week, pull the whole thing together, or just pull it, because that's how people do these things.
Yeah,
people with podcasts, because people usually, they want to listen to certain clips, and then they don't want to listen to the whole video, but whatever, that's expected. But yeah, like I said, because there was one people who said, like, next you're going to say that Super Mario World is overrated. And if you listen to the podcast, my main point was that Super Mario World is my favorite game of all time, and that I thought Super Mario 64 as its sequel, well, it's not really its sequel, but it's the next game in the series. I thought Mario World played much better. I thought it was a step down. That was my main argument. So that right there was like, yeah, clearly you did not listen to this this audio podcast, my friend. But no, it was really a listen in humanity, because there was some really nice comments in there, and like I replied to them, and one I actually told him that that he had restored my hope in humanity, because he clearly did not agree with me, but instead of using the approach that some others did, actually had a nice counter argument to that. So that was fun. That was my hope in there. I've since completed Super Mario 64. And my opinion hasn't changed at all. Like I told you, I'm never going to touch that game again. It's not for me. I don't understand why everyone loves it, but that's fine. People have a right to love whatever they want to love. And I'll move on. I've said what I had to say about that game, and I'm glad I did it. And now, and also glad that I finished that game and I finally gave it its a chance. And I had some fun times with it, but now it's on to better things.
So I'm just looking at, like, subscribers and stuff like that, and it's really humorous. Tim is really funny. He's really, really funny. Because, like, I'm looking at, like, the impact, and it's like there's virtually no impact at all. I don't know what he's talking about. he's so funny. But whatever. I'm sure what he means is probably, like, there were a lot more people that were, like, joining the stream and stuff. And that's great. Honestly, that's fantastic. That's really awesome. No, for me, like, I was checking in. I had a busy week, so I wasn't as connected as I'd like to be sometimes. But I was popping in here and there, was looking at what people were saying and stuff. And there's still a couple comments, even, like, today. I was trying to take a look to see. I'm not sure. Let's see. Analytics. How can I see? I guess if I just click on the video, eh? I'll see the number of likes and dislikes. Let's see. Well, it's not so bad. I mean, 24 likes, 13 unlikes. I mean, that's not terrible. A lot of comments, so that's good. No, I think, honestly, I think overall, I think it did well. And we'll see. I don't want us to be clickbaiter type people, and we're not, because, like, you literally said exactly, you know, what the caption showed. So whatever. What about, are you playing anything? Because for me, this week was kind of a bust.
Yeah, I just started Super Mario 35, Super Mario Brothers 35, because it was released this week. And it's awesome. It's a really fun game. It's basically Super Mario Brothers with 35 people play at the same time, and your goal is to be the last one standing. So the way it works is you play through the game, you have a timer. The only way to get that timer from going... giving you extra time is to finish a level, get power-ups, or kill enemies. Like, every Goomba you kill gives you an extra second. And then when you kill enemies, it sends those enemies to other players across the screens. and you give them a better chance of eliminating them. So if you fall down a cliff or if you die, you're gone. And then you can restart right away. So it's really quick. The best I've made so far, I finished three times. I finished fort, and I never was able to finish any higher than fort. I'm hoping to at least win one game of this, but it's really fun. You might want to try that, actually. It might be your cup. I don't know if it'll be a cup of tea because you don't like to, your feelings get hurt, but it's fun. It's
your
easy.
Your feelings get hurt. I cry in my sleep.
Yeah, you never want to play competitive games because you always cry and stuff. But it's fun,
yes,
though.
Yes, that's me. I cry.
Yeah, it's very fun. And also Animal Crossing New Horizons. I'm gonna be on your ass for that because
it's not gonna happen.
I need people to open their gates so I can go to their village and get candy and stuff like that because the new fall update is really fun. They've added like pumpkins. You can now plant pumpkins. They've added new DIYs or DYIs, do it yourself, whatever.
Yeah, do it yourself. Yeah.
And it's like, basically, it's like the Easter event, but it's spooky stuff. And then you, on the 31st, basically, there's a big gathering and big Halloween stuff. So I've been playing that for the past 3 days. It actually brought me back. And after that, it'll be the Christmas update. So I might actually stick around and play it a bit more. I'm having a lot of fun with that. And then they've announced this week that the Crown Tundra will be released on October 22nd in here and October 23rd in Europe and Japan. But it will basically be a worldwide release. It's just that it'll be different dates for them. So we're probably going to, October 22nd, we're probably going to get a release maybe later at night than we usually do. Because DLC, they always release them worldwide at the same time. So that's why the dates don't always match up. But
so you'll be playing the Australian version again?
No, it doesn't matter. Like I said, it's a worldwide release. So, but I am playing the Australian version all the time because that's the one I have.
I know. That was the that's my thing. It's like, you're hilarious.
Yeah, but I told you, like, I thought that would be advantageous with DLC.
Yeah, I know, but it's not.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's just because they don't want part of the world to have the new upgrades, and then that would kind of open up glitches especially when you have an online game. Some people would have access to a different game, it would be troublesome. So that's why DLC, usually everybody does it this way. It's always worldwide release on the same time. So that's pretty much it. I'm very excited. Have you seen the Crown Tundra reveal trailer?
No, I have not, man. Okay, like I said, this was a bad week for me, just in terms of like work. I was just really busy. It was super, super busy. And I'm also, I think this is going to be our first week where I don't get a Saturn Day review out because... I'll just say it here because I doubt many Sega Saturn fans are going to be watching a Nintendo Fanboys episode. But I'm working on Police Knots right now, and this is probably going to be the deepest, most complicated video, just from a video editing standpoint, that I've ever done before. So, like, it's taking me a lot of time to not only make sure I discuss, you know, what I want to discuss about the game, but in terms of like capturing footage from multiple games that I need to do, plus there's the historical context, then there's the memories and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just, this is going to be a very, very complex video for me to do. I know for others, they'll look and they'll be like, what the heck is this idiot talking about? Like, this is like amateur hour. But for me, it's going to be complicated. And Steven actually got to see, like, when we made the last thumbnail together, he was crying. He was laughing so hard. So you got to see some of the complications I have to deal with.
All right. So, yeah. So I guess that's pretty much it for me. If you don't have anything else to add.
Well, the only other thing that, I've been playing, that I've been trying to, at least trying to, it's such a short game. And I just feel like, it's taken me like 17 years here is, I think it's called Hellblade. It's on the Xbox Game Pass, and I have it on PC here, and really good, like really, really good. I'm really, really enjoying it. just not a perfect game by any stretch of the imagination. There's a lot of stuff I find that causes the game to grind to a halt in terms of action. So there's basically sequences where you have enemies that appear, like, just out of nowhere. And I think her name's Sanoa. She takes her sword out, and then it's basically nonstop fighting. As soon as she puts her sword away, you're back to, like, exploring. The thing is that there's, like, runes that appear on doors, and you have to use what they call her focus in order to, like, zoom in. And then you have to find those runes in the world. And I just find sometimes that really grinds the gameplay to, like, a halt. It really brings it to a halt, and where you're just like, because you can get stuck, and you're like, okay, I know it's in this area, but where? And yet, you don't have to be too specific, but it's just, I find sometimes it just takes a little bit too long to find what you need to do. And it has a really stressful system for life, whereby every time you die, she has something in her called the darkness, and it starts, and her hand is, like, completely, like, it's basically, like, turns black, and think of it like a virus almost, and it slowly starts to spread up her arm, and if it reaches her head, the game deletes itself, and you have to start over again from the very beginning. Like, your save actually deletes, and you have to start over. So that's a little stressful, but I'm really enjoying the game. Overall, I'm really, really enjoying the game. I just wish I had some more free time, but alas, I do not.
Yeah, okay, so I just remembered I wanted to talk about two other games too. I also played Twin Breaker Secret Symbol
Story. Right. Yeah.
Or yeah. Adventure, I don't remember what the game is. This is Colin Moriarty's game that he made with this, I think it's a Canadian developer. He actually bought the company. He's now the majority shareholder. I think he owns 51% of the company now. And they make a bunch of other games. They're actually going to be releasing another game soon. But this is a game he wrote, and they developed the game, and it came out on Vita and PlayStation 4 earlier this year, and now it's on Switch and Xbox One and I believe PC and everything. And it was, I don't know if you did, you probably didn't, but it was on sale for the first week of release on Switch, so you got like 20% off or whatever it was. It was under $10. It was a pretty good deal, and I love these things on the Switch. Every time you buy a game, you get coins, so I end up, like, last week, I bought a game for Elliot. He wanted a game. We searched on Rocket League because Rocket League is now free to play. So I wanted to download it on the Switch, but it wasn't out yet. But when we searched for Rocket League, we got a game called Wrecked, which is a similar game to Rocket League. It was, like, on sale for, like, $1.99. So I used all my coins, and I got it for free. And it's stuff like that I really like. It's really simple. I think it's unique to the Switch, but it's fun because I always have so many coins saved up that I can, like, when I think I bought Gato Roboto last year for, like, 40 cents because of all my coins and stuff like that. So anyway, I bought Twin Breaker. It's basically a brick breaker game with a cool sci-fi storyline on it. So if you like Brick Breakers, I would recommend it to anyone listening to this because it's a two-hour game. Obviously, if you want more, there's New Game Plus and there's a lot of other stuff, so you can easily play this game for longer. But for me, it was perfect. It is a twin-stick Twin Breaker, so you have to play with both sticks and control two pads. And at one point, you need to control four pads. And those I found a bit hard because my brain could not get used to that. Like, I would always, because you need to control up and down for both sticks on the far left and far right. And then on the bottom screen, you would need to go left or right with both sticks again. So it would just screw in my brain. And those stages I would find a bit harder. But the game really is not hard at all. If you're just going to through the story, you can get to it in like 2 hours, maybe less. So Twin Breaker was pretty fun. And then I was looking at the eShop the other day. And there was a trailer for Minecraft Dungeons, and my son really was into the trailer because it reminded him of this Netflix series that's on right now that you can play Minecraft and you can choose. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure type of series. And he liked that, so he wanted to try the game, but then I bought the game and it ended up that he did not like it. So it was a waste of money as usual, but it's a fun game. It's a dungeon crawler in the Minecraft universe. It's the type of game that like 10, 15 years ago, you and I would have blasted through on the Xbox 360 live, because we would have played through that and just chatted and said dumb stuff and got achievements. We would have just loved this type of game, but now that he does not like it for some reason. Like I said last podcast, why Game Pass is so appealing to me is that it looks like only 10% of the time when I buy a game intended for him that he'll actually like it. So with Game Pass, I won't have that issue anymore. But that's basically what I've been playing since the last podcast.
Oh, glorious. And I also want to just mention that, like, I actually was really enjoying Police Knots. As a video game, I think that it suffers immensely at certain points, if I'm being completely honest, and I'll take you through that in the review. I really wonder how this one is going to do, because I could see a lot of people being, I don't want to say upset there, but it's like it has taken on almost this like mythical status where like people think it's like some, you know, like just because it was Kojima that it's gold, right? But when Kojima lets loose and no one is there to sort of, you know, control him, it's crazy. So like a sequence that, like, for example, let's say you were just looking for like a criminal or something like that, like a sequence that should take, say, 5-10 minutes can actually take like 2 hours because of the constant dialogue back and forth between the characters and stuff like that. But again, I'll save that for the review itself. But I am curious to hear what people think. So, all right, I think we've dilly-dallied enough. Are you prepared?
Yeah, let's do the main event. So the rules are simple. We're going to list, Jared and I, our top 10 games. And the number 10 game on our list will get 1 point, and the number one will get 10 points. And then I'll compile the data after. First, before we start, I'm going to tell you our top 10 from the last time we did this, which was May 2019, just as a reference point. So this was our top 10 games last time we did a Switch list. It actually ended up being a top 11 game because there was a few ties in then. So just in order, it was A Night in the Woods, Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu and Eevee, Celeste, Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon, Stardew Valley, Diablo 3, Mario Odyssey, Dragon Quest Builders 2, The Messenger, Golf Story, and number one was The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. So that was our list back then. And I've actually made a new list, and I'm sure you did as well. And I don't have that many returning games on here, although I do have a few. So this should prove interesting as far as a new list. So I will start with number 10, and then you will go with your number 10 and number 9. Sounds good?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so at number 10, I have Undertale. I think I discovered this game just a bit after we did our May 2019 edition of our top 10, or maybe just before. I don't remember why it didn't make the list back then, but Undertale is just a fantastic, I don't know how to call it. It's a role-playing game, definitely. It kind of plays like a classic RPG, but it has many elements that is not classic. Like, it's a weird game, really weird setting, and that's what draw me into it. I really liked it. You can play the game in so many different ways. You can actually beat the whole game without attacking once, and it's a game that screams like replay value. It wants you to play it more and more just to get the different endings, and every time you restart, the game actually keeps track of everything you've done in the last save file and references it during the main game. So if you've killed a character before, you might get shit for it in the new playthrough. So it's a lot of fun. I actually really recommend Undertale. There's also a series after that called Deltarune, which is episode 2 will be released soon, and episode 1 is free right now on Switch, which was made by the same guy. I don't remember his name for some reason. I think it's Todd something, but I might be wrong. I might be thinking of the guy who made Spawn. But anyway, Undertale, my number 10. I think you've played that one and you loved it too, but that's why it made my list.
Yep, I did, and it was very enjoyable. For my list, just before I start my 10-9, I was still very much in school. So I actually do have a couple of returning just because I haven't been quite as influenced by some of the newer stuff overall. So anyways, number 10 is Collection of Mana. If you don't know anything about that, it collects basically, Adventure of Mana, Secret of Mana, and I forget what the third one they ended up calling. Great games all around. And I was just, lately I've been more into the retro scene, especially bringing back Saturn days. So, yeah, Collection of Mana is my number 10. Do you want to say anything about that before I go to 9?
No, go ahead. I actually never played it, so.
You monster. Number 9 is a repeat. It's a game that I loved before. I think it's moved down the list, obviously, but that's Blossom Tales. I really love that. The closest you can basically get to like a 2D Zelda, except for a 2D Zelda, which you'll see will appear on this list.
Okay, for me at number 9, I have Stardew Valley.
I've loved that game since I've played it back then. It's awesome. It's on every single console imaginable, but it really shines on the Switch. It's basically, a life simulator, but it has... It pretty much does everything better than Harvest Moon, and it was made by one guy, which I thought was really impressive. And it's a type of game that really encourages replaying it over and over again, and you can actually marry a whole bunch of different characters, and still to this day the game still gets updated, gets a bunch of new stuff added to it. So that's why I really loved Stardew Valley. And at number 8, I have Golf Story. Golf Story, I believe, and by your laugh, it's probably your number 8 too. But Golf Story is still, to my knowledge, a Switch exclusive. And it's one of the best games on the Switch. If you like not games that don't take themselves too seriously, but are very easily approachable, has a really nice story, and it's actually a golf game that plays like an RPG, and it's a lot of fun. I think everyone that played Golf Story loved it, and there's a reason why.
Excuse me, sorry, I didn't get a chance to mute my mic there. I can't wait for the second one, to be honest, which is Sports Story. It got delayed earlier this year, most likely due to COVID. And we haven't heard anything since, but just from the trailer that was released, it looks absolutely phenomenal. Golf Story is also my number 8. That's why, yep, I did my little chuckle. And I'll tell you right now, for those that are wondering, the new 3D Super Mario game compilation, whatever it's called, is not on my top 10 at all. Just FYI. So if anyone's looking for that, well, you're going to be disappointed. All right. Number 7 is Paper Mario Origami. What was it? Origami King, I think it was. I loved this. I know you didn't. I thought the gameplay got very, very repetitive very, very, very quickly, but I still loved it. I still thought it was a really, really enjoyable game. The writing alone is really what set it over the top for me, put it over the top, that I really had a good time with it. I truly did.
Okay, for me, number 7 is Animal Crossing New Horizons. I'm a huge Animal Crossing fan. New Leaf to me was just incredible. And New Horizons is slowly starting to reach that status. They're still missing a lot of features from New Leaf that I wish were in there, especially shop upgrades. I'm still keeping hope that one day we'll get everything, because if you remember, New Leaf got a huge update like 3 years after it was released with its amiibo features and its amiibo camp. So I'm pretty sure they're going to keep updating New Horizons for at least another year, maybe 2 years, especially since it sold like 23 million copies already. I don't think they have any incentives to stop supporting the game. But like I said, the new fall update really brought me back. I can't wait for the new... also the Christmas update, and then there's also I think I'm missing 2 fish and 2 bugs in October. Sadly, there wasn't any new fish or bugs in the northern hemisphere, although there was, I think, 2 new sea creatures to catch. So I'm just hoping, and like every new month there's new stuff to do, like catching new new creatures and completing your museum. So Animal Crossing New Horizons, not as good as New Leaf, but it could get there one day, and I still enjoyed it very much. After that, number six, I have Pokemon Sword and Shield, which also has the opportunity to advance next year if we do another list like this, depending on how Crown Tundra is, because I thought that the Isle of Armor was fantastic, added like 50 hours or more of gameplay for me. And like I've already put like close to 600 hours into these games, and I'm just having a blast. The new Max Raid mechanic that they added to these games, just fantastic. Like I have played so much just raiding with friends, because it adds a reason to have competitive Pokemon and use them in a cooperative mode. And I also really like that they've added every month now new weekend raids that have an increase like 2% odds to get a certain shiny, and these are really fun. And I'm hoping that they just added the Halloween raids, which are basically all ghost and dark types, and I'm really hoping we get a weekend event of shiny Pumpkaboo. That would be awesome. It would be thematic, and I'm hoping we get that. But yeah, Pokemon Sword and Shield, really having a lot of fun with that, and this DLC really breathes new life into that game.
Okay, so I'm on six. Six for me was Animal Crossing. don't really have much more to say, to be really honest. You sort of said it all. I think this one is actually going to continue to go down like next year or so. I mean, we'll see, but I have a feeling that it's gonna go down. It hasn't been as enjoyable as New Leaf. I think that's the easiest way for me to sum this up. Yeah. So number five, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Number five is Link's Awakening. I forget. I don't know if it was called something else, like if they added a subtitle thing to it. But the remake of Link's Awakening, I really enjoyed. I didn't really enjoy too much the whole, like, you know, build your own dungeon type of thing, but overall, I mean, Link's Awakening was one of my favorite Zelda games, and I really enjoyed the art style that they used, and just overall, it was really, really enjoyable revisiting that game after all these years.
Okay, so me at number five, I have Celeste. Celeste is one of my favorite platformers of all time. I've talked about it so many times, I'm not really sure what to add, but it's just that if you're looking for a platformer with like a really hard difficulty, but so easy to play because every time you die, they just start it back up, and every time you clear a screen, there's a checkpoint. So really, you're just looking at 15 to 20 seconds micro challenges every time. And once you climb that mountain, it feels so rewarding. And also, it has the very best story you'll ever find in a platformer. And I just love the classic sprites visuals. So Celeste at number five. And at number four, I have The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which is probably very low compared to most people's list. One of the reasons I think it's low for me is because I played Breath of the Wild on the Wii U. Mainly, I only played like 4 or 5 hours on the Switch, and that was after I had already completed the Wii U version. So I've never really connected with that game on my Switch, although I do consider it to be one of the very best games of all time. Obviously, if you have a Switch, this is probably one of the games that everybody has on the Switch. And it's a great, fantastic game, and I know you'll have it at some point on your list. So that's all I'm going to say about it.
All right. So number four for me, just want to make sure if I'm correct. Yeah, okay. Super Mario Odyssey. I've given this game like a lot of praise over the years, and yeah, it's still an amazing game. I loved Cappy. I loved the almost everything about the game. Seriously, like I thought that was an absolute phenomenal 3D Mario game. I loved it. Number three for me is Pokemon Sword and Shield. I was surprised, to be honest, that it that was not higher on your list. For me, it was just a really great experience. I've really enjoyed it. Everything about it. I like the DLC. It's not as engrossing, the DLC, as I thought. I haven't checked out the Crown Tundra yet, but the first DLC that they released, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was, you know, phenomenal, but just overall, I've really enjoyed this generation of Pokemon.
Okay, for number three, I have Dragon Quest XI Definitive Edition. We did an entire podcast on this game, spoiling it. If you are curious about our thoughts, go check it out. I think it was probably one of our best podcasts we've ever made, because it was one Jared has waited years to do. And just, I think Dragon Quest XI is fantastic, and the Switch version, and now that version is available everywhere, I think. So if you don't have a Switch and you're looking for some Dragon Quest, the Definitive Edition is definitely the way to go. It's a fantastic game, very well worth your time, and I think it's on Game Pass, so it's another reason to get Game Pass. At number two, it's Super Mario Maker 2. What a game. That game was fantastic. I adored the original on the Wii U. The 3DS version was lackluster, but this really gave it all, added so much stuff, added the opportunity to make Mario levels using the 3D world, like landscape. Just an amazing game. The fact that you can create levels and share them with your friends, and then basically, you never have nothing to do in this game, because there's always new levels created every day by millions of players. It's just a fantastic game, and that's why Super Mario Maker 2 won my Game of the Year last year.
All right, so number two for me is Dragon Quest XI. I don't think that comes as a surprise to anybody that it would be so high. Be very curious to see what happens next year, basically, to see if that retains its super high position, because it's coming out to other platforms. Not that that negates anything on the Switch, just curious if there's going to be any other releases or anything that are going to push it down. And my number one, it remains pretty much the same as it was last time, which is Breath of the Wild. I still think that Breath of the Wild is the best game on the Switch, and I don't think anything's going to change that, except for potentially Breath of the Wild Part 2, or whatever, obviously, they end up calling it. I stand by what I said before. I think it did a brilliant job of reinventing the series, and it's just, I'll say this for years, it is such a shame that the Wii U version, they dumbed it down. Because if you go back and watch the very early trailers, you had a lot more gamepad functions than you ended up having in the final game, which is always, I always found that sad.
Okay, and for me, my number one also did not change. It's The Messenger. I just adored that game. I still love it today. Just so easy to get in and play. It's really hard, has a very fun story. I don't know why. I don't have a negative thing to say about this game. I just love it so much. The Messenger, it's out on Switch. It's out everywhere now. So if you want to play that game, there's no excuse. It's worth every penny. And that's it. And I'll let you talk about whatever you want to talk while I compile the data and just figure out our top 10 list.
Yeah, sure. And what's nice is this podcast will actually be probably a little bit shorter than normal, which is good. That's a good thing. So, yeah, I think the Switch has had a very strong library, and they've done really, really well over the course of the last... How long has it been out now? 4 years?
It will be 4 years in February, I believe, or March.
Okay, so, I mean, I think it really, really did really well. Has a really solid lineup. The only thing I think that still kind of perplexes both of us is why there weren't more games that were released, like original properties and stuff like that, considering the 3DS, they pulled most of the teams away from the 3DS, you know, like last year type of thing. So I still find it a little odd that we didn't get more than what we got, and that we still had so many Wii U ports that were ported over, obviously. And I still find that strange that we just didn't have more. And I'll be very curious to see what happens in the coming year. I mean, we know that later this year, Hyrule Warriors, what is that actually called?
Calamity Wars thing?
Yeah, Calamity Wars. There you go. I think that's going to be a big seller for them. I think that's going to do very well. But I'm really curious to see when are we actually going to get that sequel to Breath of the Wild. And basically, what are they going to do with that? Like, is that truly going to be just, like, the same? Like, because it seems like it's a direct follow-up. And if it's a direct follow-up, I'm okay with that. But how are you going to change the game world enough that it actually makes sense? Because you can't just change the location of everything and give us an entirely new map. If it's a direct sequel, it's going to be weird. You know what I mean? It's like, well, why is Death Mountain over here now instead of over there? Why is it, you know, like, so I'm really curious to see what approach they take to this. I'm really, really curious. I'm pretty sure they're going to make it that we're going to a new land or something to that effect. How are you doing with the numbers?
Almost done.
All right, because I don't want to ramble on for 6 hours here, bore people to death. But yeah, no, I think overall, like I said, I think overall it's been a very, very interesting console, and I'm really curious to see where they take this in the coming years, especially like now, like we were discussing last time, like, you know, Switch 2. What exactly do they do with that, and how do they go about doing that? Because I think, honestly, I think the whole industry is going to have a seismic shift in the coming years. And I said this before jokingly, but it's true. You and I are like the worst at predicting anything for the future of gaming. We're always wrong. Like one of our podcasts was like, "Oh, this will be the last generation of games consoles," and yeah, that happened. And so, yeah. So give us the results.
Yeah, I'm just double checking. Should be 15 seconds here. Just want to make all sure. Right,
so we'll count together. One, two.
So it looks like we're going to have a tie at number one. So that's pretty
good.
Cool.
Awesome.
So Breath of the Wild will be tied. And now we don't actually have 11 games this year. We actually have 10 in our top 10, which makes a lot more sense. I'm just going to double check. So this is a tie, right? Yeah, that's a tie. And then this should have written down 7. And which next? AC. So this is not a tie. AC.
I love listening. I don't know about you guys, but I love listening to Steven do math.
Yeah, I'm terrible. And this is a tie. Okay, so this is a top 10 game, guys. So tied at number... At number 8, we have 3 games tied at number 8 with Golf Story, Celeste, and Zelda Link's Awakening. Then at number 7, we have Mario Odyssey. So Super Mario Odyssey is at number 7. At number 5, we have a tie with Animal Crossing, New Horizons, and Mario Maker 2. And then number 4, we have The Messenger, Jared's favorite game. And then at number 3, we have Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. And tied for the number 1 position on the top 10 best Nintendo Switch game are The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and Dragon Quest XI S Definitive
Perfect.
Edition. So we have a new number 1. Well, not really a new number 1, but now it shares the spotlight with Dragon Quest.
Awesome. So that makes me happy.
Yeah. So this is it, guys. This is our new top 10 Nintendo Switch games. And there's no arguing it. This is the definitive list. And if you agree about it, you're wrong.
That's right. It's like Die Hard, right? There are those people who think Die Hard is a Christmas movie and those people who are wrong. So it's exactly the same here. You either agree with us or you're wrong. And that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, perfect. Well, we hope you enjoyed, guys, and be sure to let us know your incorrect top 10 list. We would be sure to to hear what you have to say. It'd be fun to hear what you guys have to say. And and next podcast, hopefully it'll be a gamers, because we have some very big news we want to share with you for early next year, but we're still working on the details, so I don't want to share it just yet. But Yeah, so hopefully by the next podcast, we'll be able to share some really, really exciting news with you all. And with that, I shall say, have a great one, everyone.
Let's see
and,
how many subscribers I lose this time.
Probably another three. That's my prediction. All right, everyone. Take care.